Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We've been talking about the grace that's on your life for and the purpose that it's there for. And we've got some more great things to talk about. We know the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We know that there is a spiritual death that comes with the punishment of sin. And that is not what God wants. God did not ever want us to deal with the wages or the punishment that comes with sin. So let's talk about Romans chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" We're talking about superabundant, overflowing grace. We said this last couple of weeks, that the word sin means to miss the mark. And so again, growing up religiously, we only view sin as doing bad things, when that's not exactly what God's way is. Missing the purpose that we were created for is sin. Now, that's not a judgmental thing. That's a sobering thing that should make us want to perk up and find out, God, have I missed it anywhere? Did I get off course somehow? Every day of our lives, the enemy is going to do his best to get our attention on something other than the plan of God, the will of God, or the purpose that you're created for. Religion for hundreds, if not 1,000 years or better, has done that, has tried to get our attention off of seeking God's best through His Spirit and His Word. You know, a lot of folk, I've gotten caught up in religious trappings and different outflows of religion, and emotionally in our soul, it may make us feel good. Keys and I, we turned the TV on last night when we were in the bedroom, and there was a very ecumenical worship service on. I guess we can call it, I guess you would refer to it as worship. It wasn't really worship. And we were like, man, does anyone even like that stuff? And it was very religious. And my statement was, like, you know, I guess it makes people feel good. Listen, God is not here just to make us feel good. God wants us to feel good. But you know where feel good comes from? A peace, when you have peace in your soul. When we have peace. That's why we try not to, and we can't judge our life by how we feel. We have to go by our spirit on the inside. There's a lot of physical problems that come because of lack of peace in our soul. And so Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Therefore, peace is one of His greatest desires. To not have peace in our soul is to not be in union mentally, spirit, soul, and body, with Jesus and the purposes of Jesus, or the Spirit of Jesus and the Word of Jesus. And so it's important that we make sure that we are doing... That's why Paul even tells us to walk in peace with every man, if possible. Walk in peace. And so when people come at you or do things at you or to you, anytime the devil is trying to stir somebody else up to get you, remember the whole purpose of them getting you is to get your peace. Because as your soul goes, so goes our lives. And so back to this, that if we only see our life as a series of do's and don'ts, right and wrong, then we're missing it. We're missing it. I told my high schoolers the other day that, you know, that sin, like we've been talking about here, is not doing and fulfilling what we were created to do and fulfill. And so that sounds so bland and so minute. And so a lot of religious thinking, oh, well, that's sin is worse than that. Okay, really? It's one thing for God to create us and then we do wrong. Is it worse that God create us and we go off in a whole different direction that He created us for? Or is it this? He created us, we got saved, and we don't fellowship with Him. I mean, of all three of those, which one really is worse? Well, they're all bad. They're all bad. And so, but our goal is not to figure out what's right and wrong. The goal in our life is what Jesus said in Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that's proceeding continually, proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So God is continually talking. He's continually speaking, and He wants to do that on a daily basis. When I first started pastoring and traveling, it was a very difficult thing because there's times where there was one week where I think I had four different meetings I was doing in one week, including our church, and trying to decipher, okay, God, I want to prepare for this meeting, this meeting, this meeting, and the church. Well, I had to realize, you know what? There's a step-by-step. There's a daily thing, and I had to focus on next. What's next first? What's next first? And so I can get so far out there and have no idea what's, you know, tomorrow morning. I'm preaching tomorrow morning, then I'm teaching two classes tomorrow afternoon. And so again, yesterday I'm thinking, well, okay, I need to plan for Monday. I thought, no. I can get so confused trying to figure out Monday when I'm getting my stuff together for my studies all week long for today. And so our daily life, God wants us to begin with stepping out daily, listening to Him daily, spending time in His Word daily, spending time praying in the Spirit daily so we can begin to hear on a clearer level. Remember, it's not the big chunks of what we do for God. It's the little consistent things that we do in our spiritual walk with God. And so it's important that we realize that the word sin means to, the very first definition, when you look in the Greek definition, means to be without a share in. To be without a share in. Or to miss your portion. To miss your portion. I'm doing a study right now on, it's on debt freedom, but in my study of debt freedom, it's led me into covenant, and it is phenomenal. But the thing is, here's the deal, I'm trying to hold this back because I don't want to tell you everything because it's really, really good. But here's the thing. If the Bible says he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, if you're in union with him, if he really did redeem us, and the Bible says that you and him are one, the Bible tells us to owe no man anything but the debt of love. And if we owe somebody something, that means he owes somebody something, and he has to get us out of debt because he can't owe anybody nothing. That's what covenant is. And for me to miss my share, you know, when Keys and I first got married, I had debt. And the week after we got back from our honeymoon, I was instantly debt-free. You know how? Because she did not want debt. And she had money that she saved up. And the first thing she did was get us out of debt because she and I are one. We're in union. If I didn't receive that, I would miss my share in this union. Does that make sense? So God wants us. He has a share. He has a portion. The Bible talks about Jesus being our portion. He has stuff for us. He has a whole way of living for us. But the problem is we seem to be looking at right and wrong and trying to figure out what's right and wrong instead of pursuing our daily walk with Him and realize that, wait a minute, God has something for me, and in that something, there's a something to do as well. There's a walk that we walk. There's a path that we take. And if we seek first the kingdom of God and His right way of doing things, His way of doing things right, His very specific way, all these other things will be added to us. Does that make sense? All right, so sin. And then we said James 4:17, that therefore to him that knoweth to do good and does it not, to him it's sin. In the Message version it says, in fact, if you know the right thing to do and don't do it, that for you is evil. Like the way the Message said, it's evil. So in other words, there are things that God wants us to do, back to this word, daily. Daily. And you know, our daily routine, our daily walk with the Lord, keeps our walk with God straight toward the future. You know, this week when we went out to the Dumas Amarillo area, you know, I know how to get there. If I'd have veered off course and not made a quick correction, I could have gone way off a different direction if I didn't make that course correction daily, minutely, hourly. Had to make sure I'm going in the right direction. When we went to Keys and I went to Belize, thank God, Keys, you know, some of my biggest pet peeves are driving pet peeves. And so, you know, I grew up with truck drivers and who drove for a living, and that was their profession, so they take it very seriously. And so growing up that way, there's a lot of stuff that you notice and you pick up, and it's, you know, some of it's annoying. And I grew up in Houston too, by the way, so that says a lot right there. And so one of my desires for a wife was I needed a really good driver. I needed someone who I could trust behind the wheel. And man, there's no other woman that I trust behind the wheel but Keiza. Let me tell you, she's awesome. And so thank God for it, because not only is she good behind the wheel, she's an awesome co-pilot. So in Belize, the first night we preached at the church over there, first time in this town, and it's dark. You know, we would love to have been able to go to that town in the daytime during, you know, that, before we got there, so at least we can navigate a little better. So we're going down the road, and we're like, okay, we don't know if it's the right road. I'm like, you know what, we better turn back around, because if we keep going in this direction, we can go way off and get way far off course. And so we made some quick little course corrections, and then Kiza got us back on the right trip. So every time we left that town, it took Kiza to get us back to the main road. And so again, if we didn't make those corrections, we'd have gotten real far off, and man, it'd have been real hard, and it's dark, and your GPS doesn't work in some of those little villages out in Belize. And so course corrections should be a daily thing, because we've got to realize we have a portion. We have an inheritance, and we have a share. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. You see, in our daily walk with God, it's not His deeds that we're learning. It's His ways that we're learning. A lot of people know what God does, but not a lot of people know His ways, the ways of God. I had a friend on Facebook recently, and I think I probably mentioned this recently also, put a post regarding God corrects people and disciplines, but the way it was stated was as if bad things are God's way of correcting, and if we don't do, you know, God's way, He corrects us in a harsh way. Well, the truth is that God's primary way of correcting us is with His words. You know, all Scripture is given for instruction in righteousness, for correction, for reproof. That's God's way of doing things. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs, where it says, like a father chastens a son that he loves, the word chasten means correction. Chasten doesn't mean beating, doesn't mean spanking. I believe in spanking, by all means. But at the same time, correction from God is always from His words, from what He said. But again, if we get off on this whole idea that wait a minute, all this bad stuff is God's way of correcting us, then we're gonna learn the ways of God incorrectly. We're not gonna know the ways of God, and we're not gonna look toward, all we're gonna look toward is external things. Well, I didn't get a flat tire today. I must be doing something right. I'll be real honest with you. I see more junk the enemy tries to throw at you when you're doing stuff right. Now, that's not scary, because we stand on the covenant. We get our things that aren't right. We write them by our authority, by the Word of God. Amen? But what I'm saying is there's a difference between what God does and then the ways of God, how He does those things. So therefore, He was grieved, that generation said, they do err in their hearts, for they have not known my ways. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, I want you to see this. When we depart from the ways of God, or we depart from the path or the plan of God, He calls this unbelief, and that's come from an evil heart. When we know what to do, we know how to operate our lives properly, and we don't do it, we start to enter into unbelief, and that is displeasing to God. You see, God, no matter what our age is, no matter how young we are, God has things for us to do, bigger things. As a matter of fact, you know, I heard it a lot. I was listening to Terry Savelle Foy the other day, and one of the things she may mention very, very simply is anything God has you to do is impossible for you to do alone. It demands the power or the grace of God. Remember, the anointing comes with the grace. The anointing to do what you're called to do comes with the grace to do what you're called to do. And so it's important to realize there's always something for you to do. You know, my pastor years ago, I think he passed away. He was 89, I believe, and he was a hardcore 89. I think he was somewhere around 80, 87 whenever he was out at a restaurant up in the Sherman area having lunch. And he said he overheard two men, and he gathered that they were pastors, and he listened to them, and they're talking about they had retired and what they're doing since they retired. He walked over there one of his ministry cards. He said, "Here, I hear you guys are retired ministers." He said, "Here, take my card and go to my website." He said, "You never retire in the things of God. You may no longer pastor anymore, but there is always ministry. The gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Irrevocable. You just have a different season of ministry. Maybe you're not pastoring anymore, but there's other. You know, I look at Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts, I think he was like 94 maybe when he passed away. He was up in his 90s, I believe. And I've known many men that would go over to his house, and he would be in the living. They would all meet in the living room, and he would mentor anywhere from 10 to 20 pastors would come weekly and sat with him. Even up to the week that he went on to be with the Lord, he was in his bedroom, and pastors would come into the bedroom. There was one man that would bring a video camera on a monthly basis and have Brother Roberts do a 20-minute video mentoring, and then this guy would take it back to his church, and during a weekday service, he would play that video. Wow, how awesome is that? You have fresh word from Oral Roberts right there in your church that was recorded just a week ago. Man, that's some fresh stuff. You know, T.L. Osborne did the same thing. Their ministries of travel were over, but they realized that there was a grace on them to continue doing what they were called to do in a different way. You know, there was during the Korean War, there was a Marine general who, when the Marines landed on the peninsula of Incheon in Korea, they realized that they were overwhelmed. And so what they did was they went ahead and they fell back, got in the boats, and when the commanding general says, "Why y'all retreating?" He said, "No, we're not retreating. We're just going back so we can attack at a different direction." And so ministry is not about retreating. It's about attacking in a different direction. And so when you make changes, when you make rearranging, it's not a retreat, it's attacking from a better position. I was teaching some kids the week before last, a Texas history class, and we were talking about the Battle of San Jacinto. And one of the interesting things about the Texas War for Independence, you know, after the Alamo, when Santa Ana was now coming after Sam Houston and his guys, the guys wanted Sam Houston with as little of men as they had. They wanted him to go ahead and get ready to fight. But Sam Houston realized, listen, we're outnumbered like 10 to 1, and so there's only one outcome. And yes, it might be honorable to just go ahead and die in battle, but the vision is not to die in battle. The vision is Texas independence, that we become a sovereign nation. That's the vision. So if we all go out in battle and die, yes, we die honorable men, for a cause, but we do not push forward the cause. And so they went from all the way just outside of San Antonio. They retreated back further down the I-10 corridor. We know the I-10 corridor now, through Columbus, Texas. And in Columbus, Texas, where the Bible school is, there's the Colorado River goes over there, and there's a park that we used to go to called Beeson's Landing. And that's where a farmer named Mr. Beeson helped the Texans cross over the river right there in that park. And they just kept going backwards. And they say, why are you retreating? We're not retreating. We're backing up until we find a more advantageous area to attack. And, of course, that happened all the way down toward Galveston at San Jacinto, where the San Jacinto Battleground Monument is, where they found terrain that is more advantageous. So, you know, there's sometimes where God will have you make adjustments. There are sometimes where it looks like a retreat, but it's not a true retreat. It's we're making an adjustment to attack in a different direction. All right, so I don't know where all that was coming from, but back to Hebrews chapter 3 here. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. Now listen to this. It says, exhort one another, encourage, spur them on in love and encouragement daily. Daily. Everyone say daily. It's got to be daily because our course gets off daily. Or it can. It can because the enemy's trying his best. You know when our course gets off? When this gets off. Our course gets off when this gets off. Sharon came down and she had me pray for what's been going on in Belize. This week, there were two specific accidents that made headlines all over the United States. It seems like there's a lot of fatality car crashes in Belize. There really is. But this week it kind of hit home because the first one was a passenger van full of American tourists from a cruise ship. And on that, it was a head-on collision. That's how most of them are over there, head-on collisions. And I believe it was 7 people died. I believe 4 of those were Americans from the cruise ship. And then 2 days after that, there was another head-on collision. And it was same thing, cruise ship people. and the people were from North Texas. Now that you think about that, I'll be honest with you, it's dangerous. We know this. We're going around mountain roads and people are passing on a blind curve on a mountain. So it's not us that are the crazy ones, but folk be passing. We watch them, we're thinking, oh my gosh, we're fixing to watch a head-on collision because they're passing. You can't see around that mountain. You can't see around that. And going through the capital city in the rainforest, there's blind curves everywhere. You can't pass. There's nowhere to pass. But they do it anyway. And they don't pass like we do. When we pass, we nail it and pass them and get it over with. They hang out. They're like, get on it. So the guy you're passing is going 50 miles an hour. The passer's going 51 and a half. I'm thinking, dude, so if like somebody's passing and you want to join them in the passing, you better not. Because you could be there half the day, it seems like. I mean, it's ridiculous. But what I'm saying is, all that weighs it because we don't drive at night, but we had to. And when we go back this summer, we're going to have to drive at night. And so we don't like that. It's crazy. I mean, we know just some friends of ours have slammed into parked tractors on the road at 60 miles an hour. Imagine hitting a giant chunk of steel at 60 miles an hour. You come to a complete stop, man, it's bad news. And so I know some of the stuff that I heard this past week is there to put fear. But you know what? No. We will do what we are called to do. We did it anyway. We did this. We drove in the dark. Man, you had to watch people on the side of the road. They're like wearing black on the side of the road, and you can't see them. They're not like on the edge. They're right there. I mean, you have to like swerve, and you can't see them until you're just about on them. What am I saying? The enemy does things daily. He orchestrates stuff daily to get us off course because, look, it says right here, exhort one another daily while it's still called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Back to this, what is sin? It's missing the mark. If I keep missing the mark, what's going to happen is it's embarrassing. And I have to begin to make excuses to cover it up. What happens when I make excuses and cover things up? My heart gets hardened. When it's okay for me to just go ahead and admit, you know what? Man, I've missed it. I've got to make course. I've got to make a correction. You know, that's why God puts people that love you in your life so that they can help exhort you while it's still called today. While it's still today, daily. Exhort one another while it's still called today before your heart gets hardened through the deceitfulness of missing the mark or missing your portion in, well, I don't believe God's will is for everyone to be financially blessed. Why? Well, you know, I've been serving God all my life. I haven't seen... Listen, I love my mom. She served God all of my entire life. She has tithed all of my entire life. And I'm talking to my sister to make sure she is still tithing on what my mom gets for Social Security because mom, she doesn't know to tithe anymore because she's not quite there. And so, you know, but mom always lived in poverty. She always lived in poverty even though she tithed. Well, you know, she did so as well. But you see, she didn't realize that you have to expect a harvest and believe for harvest and call that harvest in. And so I could easily say, well, you know, I watched this stuff and my mom was faithful tither and faithful seed sower, but she was always poor. So I guess that means that it must be God's will for not everyone to be rich. So you can make that stuff up or my situation, well, you know, I know what the Bible says about healing, but I've been struggling with this in my body. And because of that, you know, maybe it's not God's will for everyone to be healed. And maybe I can learn something through this. No. We learn through the Word of God. We don't learn through we can learn something through circumstances. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. I mean, real, real simple stuff. But at the same time, the truth comes from the Word of God. Amen? For we are made partakers of Christ if, everyone say if. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast into the end. You see, a lot of times we forget this if part and we assume that we're walking correctly on a daily basis. This thing that we live called life is a daily thing. It's a daily, we speak the word. I had some friends one time, they had a situation. Their pastor's wife was talking to them and saying, you know, they were doing something. All of a sudden, the Lord quickened them to pray for their kids. And so she did pray for the kids. And you know, they don't know if maybe something tragic was about to happen. They didn't. But my friend said, well, wait a minute. Well, they confess the word over their kids every day. Why would the Holy Spirit need to bring that up? Well, number one, you can get so repetitious on a daily basis that you get hardened. See, it's one thing. I know many people that know the Word of God, but their spirits are hard as a rock. You say, how does that happen? Man, I could go all through the list of all these different folk and the, you know, people from the past growing up and all the, listen, just because we know the Word or know the Bible doesn't mean our heart's tender. And so the Spirit of God will make our heart. That's one of the things that Brother Hagin always taught us, is that, man, we've got to make sure that we're spending time with the Spirit of God, spend time praying the Holy Ghost, because if we don't, the Word of God, if we just get on the Word and miss what God's doing by His Spirit, it can harden us. And we can believe that, man, I know the Word, I know everything. Listen, the Holy Spirit's the teacher. So if we're not listening to the teacher of the Word of the Spirit of God, where we can easily get hardened to those things. Amen? And we got to guard ourselves. We got to guard ourselves from that. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17, "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" See, back to this word sin again. Who missed the mark? Who missed the mark? These people that did not walk in the way. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted, and then they complained about everything. You know, God was already preparing stuff for them, but they just whined about, well, you didn't feed me today. I didn't like the food I had today. I mean, there are some goofy things that I just, it's goofy that they got water from a rock. I mean, that was kind of weird. And so I'm like, well, God, why don't you just create a river? It's more kosher. You know, I mean, it's kind of normal to create a river somewhere or just make one appear or a pond or a lake. But now you got to get water from a rock. That's just weird. However God wants to do, that's fine with me, as long as he gets your needs met. But again, these people, they nagged and whined about all kind of stuff. All right, so 1 Kings. We mentioned this last week, 1 Kings 17, talking about Elijah running from from Jezebel. And the Bible tells us that God ordained him to go to a place to get his needs met. To go to a place to get your needs met. If we are not walking, if we are not ready to move and ready to walk and ready to step the next step, we're going to miss what God has for us. If we're not listening to what God's saying, there's something God's saying. God is saying stuff on a regular basis, and if we're missing it, listen, if all we do is what our parents did, then we're going to get the same results they had. Are you happy with that? I'm not happy with the results of my parents. I'll be real honest with you. I love them. I love my parents. My mom has been my hero of faith since I was a kid. I watched miracles and I watched the way she lived, but what I'm saying was I'm not down with only the results they got, because I know there's more. I know there is more. Amen. And so Elijah had to move. He went when the brook dried up and the ravens stopped bringing that food. He had a poor woman. Do you know, if he would not have followed where that grace led him, if he would not have done what he was called to do, that lady would not have eaten. Listen, your grace is in place to be a blessing to somebody else. See, that's where the Bible tells us, look not at your own things, but on the things of others. In other words, it's not about what God can do for you only. It's about what you can do in the name of God for somebody else. Amen? It is vital that you and I realize that the purpose that God has in your life is not just for you, it's for others. I'll say this. You know, we looked at what God has done over the past 6 years, in not just in the nation of Belize, but here in this area as well. I can start listing the ministers that have been encouraged because of this house. The different... when I think about the body of Christ, my thought is this. I like thinking strategic and tactically. Whenever a minister gets encouraged, it reflects over his people. The grace on a minister gets on to his people. And when you breathe life into a minister or a ministry, then those churches get encouraged. And so over the years, we have blessed ministers and ministries. And so that's why it's important. Don't just think about, well, you know, what's all going on here? Well, I'm believing God for more to go on here. But at the same time, we're not standing still. We are doing, what are we doing? We're using the grace that God's placed in our life to go vertically, to go horizontally, to go forward, to go backwards. It's all about honoring the things of God. If God's called you to do something, do it. Do it. That's, my spiritual mother used to always say that. Still says that to me now. I mean, been a spiritual mother to me for 20-something years, and always, a word comes up from her every time. Munu, whatever he says. Just do it. Whatever God's called you to do, do it. Just do it. Amen? There's something God's called you to do. There's a grace in your life that God's called you to operate in. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll begin to close with this. Ephesians 3:2. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. See, there is way more to life than what we're living and how we're living. Now, I'm glad to say that because what that does is it helps me realize that I can get out of where I am. That my life, the joy will increase. The blessings will increase. The anointing will increase. See, I'm not anointed just for one small little place. You're not anointed for one small little thing. You're anointed for greater things, bigger things. Well, what is that greater thing? The thing that you're created for. You know, if God's called you to be an anointed doctor, an anointed nurse, an anointed mechanic, an anointed rancher, then the greatest thing you could do is using the grace and the anointing in your field or in your realm of influence. Man, that glorifies God. That glorifies God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which has given me to you word. In other words, Paul is saying here, there's a grace on my life that's for you. Listen, there's a grace on your life that is toward somebody else. There is a gifting. There are anointings on your life that are toward somebody else. But the enemy would do everything he can for me to think about my four and no more. If I get in that mentality of my four and no more, I will miss the grace and then the grace gift that I was created for because I'm only huddling around me. I just actually have four people in my household, and so me and my four and no more. It's very easy to settle in on that. Listen, that may be modeled to you. You may have seen that, but we have to realize there's more. There's more to what God has than your household. See, there's two places that a lot of times we miss it. We have our household, those that we are responsible for under our house, and then we have family. When you look at the Old Testament, there are two words, family and house. Family and house. Your house is those under your roof. Your family are those related to you that are extended. Your primary responsibility is your house. Now, we can influence our family, but they have to do things for themselves as well. And so we should be training them. You know, we're teaching the kids to pray. We're trying to teach them how to believe God for themselves. You know, they're wanting all these different things. And so we're trying to teach them because eventually they will be their own house. And if they don't know this stuff when they become their own house, then I've missed it. Now, I can catch up, but the better thing is to begin to teach them now that, listen, you can believe God. All right, look at verse 7, Ephesians 3, 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace, the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. In other words, I was made a minister because of those gifts. See, God made you a minister because of that grace that's on you. That grace is a gift. Now let's look at chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll close with this. Man, I hope you're seeing it. There's more to you than what you see in the mirror. And what God wants us to begin to see in the mirror is that grace. Because when we see that grace, then we'll realize, wait a minute, that grace on me is to lay hands on the sick. Everybody has that grace. Everybody has that grace. The grace on me is to prophesy to my situation. Everyone has that grace. There's just some other specific things that you, as individually, you're called to do. And as we recognize that, listen, I don't know how many times I've heard this. I've heard this from Andrew Walmack's ministry. I've heard this from Brother Hagin's ministry where there are people that have retired from pastoring, went to either one of those Bible colleges, graduated, and went back into ministry again at an older age. Listen, I don't know it all. Matter of fact, there was one time where I thought, man, I was learning so much from a certain ministry. I thought, man, wouldn't it be awesome to go back to school, you know, go to the school. And I thought, wait a minute. You know what? God's not calling me to do that right now. You know, I always tell people, if you're older and you want to go to Bible school, if God tells you to go someplace, that's fine. But one of the greatest things I tell people, just as my counsel, is listen, get plugged into a Bible-believing church where they will help you utilize the giftings that's on your heart and show you how to hear God for those giftings and talents that God has for you. Ephesians chapter 4, and starting at verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you were called. You know, the grace and the gifting, it says to walk worthy. In other words, we should learn to live our lives in according to what God has for us. You know, there's things in my life that I can't do because it's sin. Now, I walk in a different place in ministry, but you know, the closer you get to the Spirit of God, He's going to show you things not to walk in. Real simple stuff. There are things that people ask me, well, will you do this? Oh, I don't do that because, again, it hurts your influence. And the greater influence you get with people and the greater influence you begin to have, the tighter it needs to be because people are watching you. They watch us all the time. It is awesome. All right, let's continue on here. Let's look to verse 7. But to each one of you, each one of us, grace was given according to Christ's gift. See, there again, grace was given. The question is, are we walking in that grace? Are we walking in the purpose? Everyone say purpose. There is great purpose. I forgot how many years ago I heard this, maybe 15 years ago, there was a statistic that on an annual basis, there's a large amount of college students that waste about $25,000 during their college life because halfway through their degree, they change their major. Why is that? Wasn't it the Lord changed it? Is that they finally listened or they finally realized what their purpose was. And then there are folks that change it, get that degree, and don't ever do with what that degree was. You know what's easier and cheaper? Find out what God's called you to do. God will show you things ahead of time. Grace is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, I say, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, He ascended, what does it mean? But He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that He may fill all things. He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now I want you to see something in verse 13. It ends by saying perfect. The word perfect means maturing. And then it ends by saying a stature of the fullness of Christ. But I want you to look where it starts to say in verse 7 that there's grace according to the measure. Grace, the grace gifts will lead you into an area where we are open to instruction, open to increase. And then watch this. It says here, God's given fivefold ministry. We all ought to be exposed to fivefold ministry. We all will have a need. If we never have a need for fivefold ministry, we got to pull this out of the Bible. You know, myself as well, even though I am a function as a pastor, I still need a pastor. I still need apostleship in my life. I thank God I got these gifts in my life through people because everyone needs that. You know, a lot of people that are evangelists, a lot of times they miss it because they think, well, I'm an evangelist. I don't need to be plugged into a church. Listen, everyone needs a local church. Everyone needs a local body of Christ. Even if you go out every single Sunday, there's got to be a place where you call home. There's got to be a base where you live or in your area where you connect to. But I want you to see that. God gave grace gifts, and one of those grace gifts is fivefold ministry. For what's the purpose of fivefold ministry? Equipping of the saints for what? Look at verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Very simply, our grace gifts will always have the function of edifying the body of Christ and works of ministry. The word ministry means servant or service. And so everything that God does through you and in you are going to always do two things. It's going to edify. What does that mean? It means encourage. It means lift up the body of Christ. And number two, the second one in that there is to bring increase. Or what does it say right here? It says, verse 12, equipping the saints, equipping. There is an equipping that goes on through the local church, and that equipping begins with showing us and helping us learn what we're called to do. I believe there are greater miracles in our life. I believe there are greater miracles that you and I are called to do. Matter of fact, if you haven't seen miracles operating through you in a while, I challenge you. Man, Sunday, we were leaving town. I'm not an Arby's guy. I just never liked Arby's, but I let the family pick where we're going to eat on the road. And we try not to eat in the new pickup, you know. But on a road trip, I made an exception. And so we stopped at Arby's in Roy City on our way out. And the guy in the drive-thru made a mistake telling me that he has a problem with his ears. Well, he shouldn't have done that because what do you think I did? I prayed for that. I grabbed his arm through the drive-thru window. I'm sure he thought I was probably weird, but you know, that's all right. And prayed for that guy. Why? I'm equipped. You're equipped to do that. Why do we not hear? Listen, that should be a regular thing where we are encouraging and stirring each other up. Listen, just because people in our life hadn't been doing that don't mean it's right. Just because maybe the pastor before or this person that hadn't been doing it doesn't mean it's right. Well, you know, my pastor growing up, he just was a very mature. He was called to do greater things, and so he really didn't do much soul winning. Well, you know what? He didn't must have not done much Bible either, because we never stop being soul winners, amen? But I'm telling you, if you'll begin to search God out, God, what is that gifting? You'll see things begin to spike and increase in your life. Amen? Let's stand.